Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be reading some truly scary and disturbing stories. Some of these stories may not be the typical you would hear on this channel. Some of them may be a bit more scary, maybe not scary to others. It really depends on your preference, I guess. These ones freaked me out though, so I think they'll probably freak you out as well. If you have a story that you would like to share on the channel, whether it be a cryptid story, a deep wood story, or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story. Stories like yours that help keep these shows going. Before we get into these stories, I just wanted to tell you guys that I hope you all are doing well. I know there's a lot going on in the world right now, and I know everybody is under a lot of anxiety and stress, so I hope you guys are doing whatever you can to help supplement that. I do appreciate you guys so much for watching these videos. I hope you all are doing well and are being safe out there. Now, let's get into these creepy, downright disturbing horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. This happened in about March of 2000. My youngest baby was just a few weeks old when this went down, and still haunts me even now how close we came to dying that day. A little background information for you, before the actual story. My baby was just a few weeks old, and I won't even divulge her initials. We'll just call her Baby Girl. Her godmother will refer to as DW, and her god-grandmother will be referred to as Grandma. This was on the news, and if memory serves, it made national coverage pretty quickly. So much so, the country's president got wind of it and offered military aid if necessary. Yeah, it was pretty serious. Bear with me. It's really hard for me to revisit this memory, but it's come up in conversation recently, so I decided to share it. So, DW and I were spending some time together, and we decided it was a beautiful day outside. So, why not take Baby Girl to visit her grandma, as Grandma hadn't met Baby Girl yet since she was born. I needed to get out of the house for a while too, so we bundled up Baby Girl and went out for a walk. While we were walking, there were a lot of sirens going up and down the main drag of our town, and I commented to DW about it. The route we normally would have taken to get to my grandma's was this route, but it was such a nice day we decided to take a different route. I'm grateful to this day that we had opted for a different route, even though it was a bit longer to get to grandma's. I'm shaking as I write this. My breath is becoming labored and ragged. Revisiting this nightmare is not easy. At the time, I didn't have a mobile or anything like that, but I did have a pager, and it kept going off, and DW commented, "Damn girl, you're popular today." I laughed and said, "I guess so. Well, whoever it is, they can wait till we get to grandma's. I don't want Baby Girl outside too long." I shrugged it off and we went to Grandma's. She was holding Baby Girl and going completely goo-goo over her. So I took that free moment to look at my pager and to see who was blowing me up so much. It was Baby Girl's father. He kept sending our phone number and 911 text, several of them. Oh crap, something's up. I asked Grandma if I could borrow her phone so I could call home real quick, and she said sure, go for it. I rang the house, and instead of responding with the usual hello, Baby Girl's father answered with,
"Where are you? How's Baby Girl? Are you guys safe?"
I'm at this point a bit startled by this, and told him where we were, and yes, everything was fine.
"What's going on?"
I was told,
Grandma has a telly, right? Have her turn on the news. This is so messed up.
Apparently, there was a guy not far from where we usually hung out that had some issues with his apartment, and in a rage that his landlord wasn't sending maintenance out fast enough, he'd murdered the maintenance guy and proceeded to go to the KFC just down the street, literally one street over from where we were just walking for reference. Hence why the sirens so quickly and were so abundant. He shot several people, and several had died. After he left the KFC's carnage, he stormed into the McD's just a couple of blocks down and shot up that restaurant too, injuring and killing more people. After that, he fled and holed himself up in my daughter's pediatrician's office. I had to walk past these areas to get home. I panicked and said,
I'm at Grandma's now. We can't stay here for the night. I didn't bring enough formula for her, and I didn't bring enough diapers either. Baby girl is going to be uncomfortable. I only brought enough for the visit, and we were going to come back in a couple of hours, so I can rest a little bit before I get dinner started. What the hell?
We discussed the situation for a few minutes about how to safely get baby girl, DW, and myself back to our neck of town. He said his sister was on her way to pick us up. She cleared out the trunk for baby girl's stroller. He made sure that we had a car seat with us, and that she'd be there in about 10 minutes. When we got home, I was shaking so bad, I could barely walk. Baby girl's aunt offered to carry baby girl for me, but I said no. She was literally the only thing keeping me from falling apart. Baby girl's aunt walked with me up the sidewalk to the house, and we were talking quietly amongst ourselves about how things got so crazy. That if we had taken that usual route that we normally would, the main drag in town, to Grandma's, things would have been so much worse. I'm crying as I write this, thinking about that afternoon. My baby girl is my rainbow baby, a common term used for children who are born after a miscarriage or the loss of a child. She is now 20 years old and thankfully still very much alive. They eventually were able to extract the perpetrator from the pediatrician's office where he'd holed himself up in a feeble attempt to evade arrest, but it took several hours to get him out peacefully. I'm so thankful that the weather that day was beautiful. I'm thankful that DW was willing to take an alternative route to Grandma's to enjoy that day with my daughter. I'm especially thankful that baby girl's aunt not only had that day off, but had access to the car to be able to come get us. Heaven only knows what would have happened if we had opted to walk home that day. I had the worst landlord ever last year. I was your typical small-town college graduate. I got a degree in marketing and came to the realization that if I didn't move to a large city, that I was going to end up working at Walmart. I didn't really have anything tying me to my area, so it was a pretty easy decision for me to get up and move. I decided on moving to Boston because I felt like it would be a nice area and I liked the cold. Being from a small town though, I didn't really have a lot of experience with the rights of a tenant or getting an apartment or anything like that. I tried following tutorials that people had written online to the best of my ability, but this was a very new experience to me and very stressful. I had the hardest time finding an apartment. I guess you never really realize how competitive it is to get into an apartment in a major city. Most places literally wanted my resume, and as unimpressive as it was, I had a really hard time. I eventually found a decent apartment for rent through Facebook Marketplace. It was far from ideal, but I could afford it, you know, and it was livable. Honestly, those were my only two criteria. I made the mistake of not doing any research on the owner, the building, or any previous tenants. That turned out to be a serious mistake later on down the road. I remember meeting the owner. He gave me super serious creeper vibes, like the creepiest looking person I have ever seen. I try not to be judgmental, so I didn't hold it against him. You can't choose how you look, you know? It was just the way he looked at me that made me extremely uneasy. He had a lazy eye, old wrinkled skin. His teeth looked like something out of a horror movie. Not sharp or carnivorous or anything, but like the worst dental hygiene you have ever seen in your life. He showed me around the apartment and gave me the keys. I figured that I wouldn't have to be interacting with him too much. I had an automatic rent payment thing that came out of my bank account, so it was whatever. Unless there was some kind of issue that I had, I wouldn't have to speak with him pretty much at all. About a week went by, and it must have been the strangest move in my entire life. Now, I've lived in a couple places throughout my years, but living here seriously set me on edge. Things in my apartment would be missing. Like, a lot. I'd hear noises I couldn't explain. Loud ones. I tried to chalk it up to the stress of moving and getting used to living in a city, but it didn't explain everything. I had another really negative experience in that apartment. I'm not sure how long I had been living there, but I had been having horrible sleep paralysis multiple nights a week. I remember it was the night after my first day at my new job in the city. I was really tired because of my sleep schedule. It's been a little out of whack. I came straight home and just went to bed. I must have woken up at about 2 in the morning, but I couldn't move. All I could see out of the corner of my eye was a tall, thin, pale monster, for lack of a better term. It just stood there, over by my dresser. It seemed to be rummaging through my stuff. That was the first time I had ever had sleep paralysis, or whatever you want to call it. It was horrifying. You can't understand the fear until you live it for yourself. Be thankful if you've never experienced it. That night was something of a tipping point. I was completely over this apartment, city, and new life. Between the small unexplained things that went on and this sleep paralysis incident, I knew that something had to change. Another couple of days went by and I started researching on ways I could maybe find another apartment or do something. All I knew was that something had to change. I remember going to bed really early one night. I had been staying up to find new apartments, so I needed some sleep. I went to bed and fell asleep just fine, but something very unexpected happened. I found myself laying in bed, watching a figure rummage through my stuff. I only saw it out of the corner of my eye, so I couldn't really be sure. I instinctively turned my entire head to look. It was standing exactly where that monster had been. Now, it was really dark and I could not see anything too clearly, but the realization hit me like a ton of bricks. I could not move my body. This was not sleep paralysis. Someone was in my house and rummaging through my stuff right in front of me. That made it much more terrifying. Where they stood, their back was turned to me, and did not notice that I was awake. I laid there for what felt like forever. I had no idea what to do. Could I just pretend to be asleep the entire time and hope this person doesn't hurt me? Or should I get up and try to attack them? But then I ran the risk of being knifed or shot. I felt my heart beating in my chest. I had no weapons anywhere around me. The second that I got up, he was going to know it. Another minute or so went by, and the stress was eating me alive. I didn't even make a conscious decision, but suddenly, I heard myself yell, "Who the heck are you?" I did my best to sound as intimidating as possible. Whoever it was tried to make a run for it. I decided to chase them. I got out of bed, saw them in the living room. I leaped on top of this person, pinned them on the floor, and just started beating the absolute crap out of them. After 2 or 3 good punches, I heard a voice I recognized. "Please stop! You're going to kill me!" It was my freaking landlord. I screamed at him, asking what he was doing in my apartment going through my stuff. He looked totally surprised. I guess he expected me not to wake up. He tried feeding me some phony story about thinking I was away and that he was checking for mice. I may not have known a lot about my rights as a tenant, but I understood that he was not allowed to enter my apartment without telling me, especially while I was sleeping. I threatened to press charges if he didn't let me move out. He gave me my safety deposit back and I moved out 2 days later. We had originally signed a contract for over a year, but given the circumstances, he would have faced some serious charges for what he had done. I was happy to be out. One of the first things I did after moving was tell people about that incident online. I wanted anyone who was thinking about moving into this apartment to absolutely be aware of what happened. All my stuff that had been misplaced or missing throughout my home, living there, had been because my landlord was taking it. I have kept my job and decided to stay in Boston. I've been really happy now that I have a good landlord. Looking back, I should have just listened to my first instinct on that guy. If somebody gives you a weird feeling, there's normally a reason for it. This happened back in 2005. My ex and I were still together at this point, and we had an apartment in a 6-unit building. We were on the 2nd floor, only one door to enter or leave. This is relevant, I promise. One afternoon, my then husband wanted to go over to the university campus to hang out at their library and check emails, and stuff like that. He had asked if I wanted to come with him. I said no, I had a paper I had to write for class and needed to get that done. He left and I started getting settled in to do some writing when I hear the door open and shut again. I thought he had just forgotten something and had come back, as he was only gone for a handful of minutes at this point. I had my back to the door, so I just assumed it was him. I asked, "That was the shortest trek to campus and back ever. Everything okay?" I didn't get an answer, so I turned around and it wasn't my partner standing there, but the neighbor who lived across the hall from us, standing in my door, the only means of escape I have. We lived on the 2nd floor, and I'm not about to jump out the window should he try to tackle me. I'm only 5'2 and a half, and this guy is easily 6'3, and he's no slouch. In other words, he could take me down pretty easily. I snapped to him, "What do you think you're doing in my apartment, Jasper? This guy has a serious schizoaffective disorder that requires heavy-duty medication." He had been off his meds for some time, and our landlord was his carer. When it was time for his monthly shot, he'd disappear for a while, thinking he'd avoid getting the dose. All he said to me was, "I just want a cigarette." My partner was a smoker more than I was, but I wasn't going to pilfer his smokes to give this guy anything. I just wanted him gone. He was fairly harmless for the most part, but he made me quite nervous because he is known for bursting out of windows and doing some psychotic rage and just having no control over his emotions sometimes. He had subsequently did the same thing with the neighbors below him, apparently, so you can understand why I didn't want to engage him. I snapped at him and told him that he had to leave or I was calling the landlord. He repeated himself again, and I told him, as I was reaching for the phone, "I'm going to ring the landlord if you don't get the heck out of my apartment." He took off and we didn't see him much after that. Ever since that afternoon, I keep my door locked at all times unless I know someone's on their way over and will be here shortly so they can just come on in. But they know how to announce themselves. I ended up moving out of that apartment as fast as I could after this. When I was going into my 4th year of university, I decided to move out of my student residence building and get an apartment with my friend. It was always a scramble to find a place in the small university town, but we found a small apartment and quickly placed a deposit on it. Brenda and I have been friends since our first year of university. During our first week, she had immediately butted heads with her roommate and spent a lot of time hanging out in my room. I am pretty shy, so honestly, it was nice to have made a friend so quickly. There were some red flags. She hated my boyfriend, and was also pretty nasty to my friends who would come visit from home. She also seemed to be fighting with her friends and family back home a lot. Again, I was just happy to have someone to go have a meal with and stuff. So, back to us moving in together. The first red flag was when, without consulting me first, she bought a ton of furniture for the house. A new table, chairs, couch, all the kitchen utensils, etc. She then sent me the bill and told me I owed half. My extended family had already ordered me lots of hand-me-downs, so I had been planning on bringing those, but I didn't want to start our living arrangement off on a negative tone, so I paid what she asked. Within a week of us moving in together, her boyfriend moved in as well, like, right away. I told her that if he was going to live there, he had to pay something in rent. She became very offended and asked why he should have to pay since he was only staying in her room. Things only got worse. They were both very messy people, and would leave the kitchen and living room in a total mess. They would sleep most of all day, and her boyfriend would have a fit if I made too much noise. One time, he came out of their room at 5 p.m. and demanded I stop cutting carrots so loudly. It was weird. Things really hit the fan when I reported Brenda's boyfriend's living arrangement to our landlord. I told her that it could come to that if he didn't pay anything, but she continued her defense that he was only living in her room. Our landlord was livid. Apparently, he already suspected the boyfriend was living there and asked her about it, and she lied. Not only were they taking advantage of me, but also the landlord, as we didn't pay heat, lights, or water. The first scary thing that happened was when I came home one night and found the hallway lights leading to my bedroom all wouldn't turn on. It was pitch black. It was late though, so I would just walk through the darkness and go to my room. The next morning, I opened my door and realized there were knives leading down the hallway on the floor. Somehow I had missed them. I collected them and immediately went to my roommate who claimed she didn't do it. Later that day when I checked the lights, I figured out all the light bulbs had been unscrewed. I called my landlord and asked to end my lease. He refused. I would have to create a police report and have her evicted. I don't know why I didn't just do that, but I just decided to stay out of the apartment as much as I could. The next incident was far worse. In my first year of university, I had dated a very scary and abusive person. He would scream at me constantly, among other things. Our breakup was messy and ended with him threatening to seriously hurt me. Brenda knew this. One night, after an evening class, I came home to find three people in our living room. Brenda, her boyfriend, and my ex. I raced into my room and called another friend to come over. Fortunately, my friend Morgan came right away. He was over 6 feet tall and played on the school basketball team. We hung out for most of the night. I felt much safer, and even decided to go to the kitchen to get us some snacks in the kitchen. I was cornered by my ex. Literally cornered. He right away began whispering the most awful things to me. I yelled for Morgan, and my ex grabbed my wrist and held on to me until Morgan came around the corner. Morgan escorted my ex out of the apartment. I did go to the police, but they said there wasn't a lot they could do unless he did something to really hurt me. The last incident was almost at the end of the school year. I had been at the library studying for exams. Our apartment was a short walk, maybe 5 minutes away. At all times of day, there would be a lot of students coming and going as well, so I felt a bit safe, you know? I was about a minute away from our house when I received a text from an unknown number. It said that one of my friends, listed her by name, had been involved in some sort of like altercation, and I needed to go to the police station to help her. There were a lot of details and it seemed very real. Right away I asked who this was. They said it was the girl's mother, gave her name, etc. I was in panic mode worrying about my friend, so I turned and started walking to the station. The town wasn't very big, but the police station was a little ways away, probably another 5 to 7 minute walk from where I was at the moment. I was getting away from where most students live, so there weren't a lot of people walking around. Again, I was in panic mode and didn't think anything about it. As I got closer, I became aware of a car following closely behind. This is when I noticed that there was literally no one around. The car pulled up to me and began rolling down the window just enough to begin throwing trash at me. I walked quicker and made a turn down a street that was too close for them to take. The car backed up and followed me. They began speeding towards me and slamming on their brakes. They started flashing their high beams and yelling some pretty nasty remarks out the window. I had enough and started to run to the police station. The car ripped up next to me one more time and there were three guys in hoods that were in there. The car ripped up next to me one more time and three guys in hoods jumped out. I pulled out my phone and started waving it around yelling that I was streaming it online while calling the police. I was really only calling the police. That's when I heard Brenda's voice come from the car. She isn't! This is when it hit me that the text was definitely a fake. When the group heard the 911 operator's voice, they jumped back in the car and took off. I went straight to the police station and reported what happened. No surprise, they said that the group hadn't really done anything, and there was nothing they could do except issue a warning. Thankfully, my sister lived an hour and a half drive away, so I stayed with her for the rest of the semester and just drove to my classes. It was a pain, but I'm quite sure that it was better than whatever Brenda and her boyfriend had in store for me. So let me start off by saying that I'm new to submitting stories, but I'm not new to your channel. I've actually listened to your channel for a long time on my night shifts. Because of this, I'm always vigilant. So for me, this is the scariest encounter I have ever had working retail. I am 29 and have been working various retail jobs since finishing high school. Never have I had something bad ever happen to me. Maybe sometimes a rude customer on occasion, you know, nothing really crazy.
For context, I'm a female as well as very small. I'm only 5 foot tall. Not intimidating at all. I moved back to my hometown of South Florida a few months back from North Carolina. It was right before the coronavirus pandemic blew up, to give you a time reference. I of course needed a job to support my family and was living with my in-laws. I was able to quickly get an interview with a gas station thanks to my mother-in-law, who also worked there. Anyway, so I interview and get the job, and this is where chaos begins. I was glad to have an essential job with full-time and decent pay, though. So far, I have been here for about 2 months without any incident. It is important to know I was originally hired for mornings, but have had to cover night shifts temporarily for a coworker on medical leave. I adapted to night shift as best as possible and got to know some of the regulars. In particular, one couple who fell on hard times who would visit just about every night. This is relevant for later. My gas station is locked during nights for safety, so I never felt threatened or anything. I only had to service customers through the window, so much safer and less virus risk. This particular night started out as planned and going smoothly. I had finished all the stocking and cleaning. It was approximately 1 a.m. at this point when the story begins. A guy walks up and I greet him as normal. "Hey, what can I do for you?" He didn't respond for a minute, and then asked, "Can I get a hot dog with peppers?" I reply, "Sorry, we aren't serving hot dogs right now." This is the reason I brought up the pandemic, because we aren't serving any hot food due to contamination risk. He gets annoyed but starts to walk away. I thought to myself, okay, just walk away, I guess. I started to turn to go about my shift when I hear him tap on the window again. I ask again, "Hey, what's up?" He begins to get very agitated and raises his voice. "What do you mean you don't got any hot dogs? Get me a hot dog with peppers." I again restate that I said earlier, as polite as possible, "You can't get any hot dogs right now until the coronavirus ends." He keeps repeating this, and he begins to shout, "I can't believe this. She isn't giving me food." It's relevant to know I'm pretty passive. I mean, I will defend myself if needed, but I'm usually quiet and let go of things. I stood there frozen and started to worry. "You better call the cops since you ain't getting my hot dog," he exclaimed angrily. I almost thought he was joking until I stared at his face. He was seriously upset. Then I saw him walk off again towards one of the pumps, talking to, I assumed, a friend getting gas. I even began to think how silly it was. Really? Upset over food? This made me think he was under the influence with his irrational behavior. I wasn't calling the cops for that, no matter how much he asked. Anyways, a few minutes go by and he comes back again. Oh boy, here we go again, I thought inside to myself. I reluctantly opened the drawer to the window and asked again what he needed, getting fed up at this point, but not really scared yet. "Get me a Steel Reserve. Go get it now." He replied with a motioning gesture, telling me where it was. I thought to myself, do I sell to him? He's pretty irrational. We can also deny sales if we feel someone is intoxicated or being threatening. I calmly tell him, "I know where it is, but I'm not serving you alcohol." He naturally asked me why, and I replied, "You're being irrational, rude, and threatening, so I don't have to sell you anything." That set him off, and this didn't surprise me, but I was trying to stand my ground. "You piece of trash. Call the cops and see how much time I'm about to get for this." I'm seriously starting to panic at this point. "If you don't leave, I will call the cops," I explained. He didn't seem to care, and now began to bang on the glass. He kept proclaiming, "You don't know anything. You are a bum." I'm beginning to shake and trying to stand my ground, but extremely terrified. Supposedly, these windows are reinforced, but I don't want to find out. He continued to ask me things like, "How much money do you even make here? You're a bum. You don't know anything." I reply, "It's irrelevant. I don't know you, and it doesn't matter what you think of me." He kept calling me every profanity while continuing to bang on the window. At this point, he forced my hand, and I now have to call 911. I picked up the phone to show him I am serious and even tell him what I was doing. Part of me didn't want to tell him because I wanted him to be caught, but I was just scared. I have never been that terrified in my life. Time felt slow as I explained to the dispatcher what was happening. He continued banging and yelling while I was on the phone, but I ignored him. My safety and any potential customers were my priority. I, of course, give a description, the address, etc. I always hear that time is slow, where it feels like forever when you're waiting for the cops. Well, it definitely does.
I kept thinking that what if he has a weapon? What if this other guy is with him has a weapon or something? I haven't seen this other guy, but I assume there was once that he was talking to somebody. So many thoughts racing, and my panic is interrupted by more voices arguing. I look to see my regulars, the couple I mentioned earlier, yelling at this guy. They heard the commotion, and when they were walking up, they confronted him. This guy even had the audacity to try and grab the regular's wife. He said, "Why don't you come with me to my hotel room? You can make some money. I'm in 305. I thought her husband was going to pummel him, and I was hoping so. I also was afraid for them because who knows if he has something on him. He was definitely on something for sure. They scare him off and he disappears behind the building. I thank them, and they tell me they are glad they can help and hopefully the police will get him. They inform me he was staying at a nearby Days Inn based on what he said during their brief encounter. This hotel is within walking distance to my job, and that is terrifying. The police were great and responded quickly and went to check at this hotel. If anything, it hopefully scared him off, because the odds are they probably won't find him. Now, with this just happening recently, I keep scanning all the windows wondering if he comes back. Thankfully, we do lock up at night, because who knows what would have happened if he was inside. Hey guys, thanks for listening to these creepy stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video and hear it narrated by myself, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep these shows going. If you guys enjoyed these stories, it would be very appreciated if you would hit that like button. It really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. What did you guys think of these stories? Were they creepy? Were they not creepy? Do you like this style of video, or would you just prefer me to stay to things that are in the woods, cryptids, etc.? I think it's fun to mix things up every once in a while, though. It's nice to have some diversity. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. We also have a merch store, so if you want to support the channel further outside of watching videos, check out the merch store. We have some cool shirts and mugs. Also, I am currently doing a giveaway to show my appreciation to all of you guys. You guys support the swamp all the time, and I think it's only fair that I give back sometimes. I am giving away two $50 Amazon gift cards. All you have to do to enter is 1. Follow me on Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter, subscribe to my YouTube channel. 2. Comment down below that you followed me and or subscribed. I can check if you followed and subscribed. 3. Tell me your absolutely favorite swamp dweller scary story of all time. I'll be picking 2 people on the very next video and announcing it in the next video. Again, thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. Be safe out there, and I'll see you soon with another creepy video.